is the Power Adulting Podcast, where we are hunting down the experiences, struggles, and golden nuggets of wisdom from our helpful guests. Stay tuned for an exciting weekly adventure that uncovers practical tips, tools, and tactics to get you from stuck in the muck to smashing your way through life's toughest roadblocks.
I don't know how many authors, experts, and influencers have talked about the same thing lately, but when asked what makes them extraordinary, the same answer comes up over and over again. They all say it's a deep curiosity to learn and relishing in the fails. Listen in for more on how to develop that powerfully essential skill.
Happy Thursday and welcome back to the Power Adulting Podcast, these beautiful humans. We are so excited that you're here joining us today because last week we talked about career and the importance of pursuing joy in a career, finding something that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and makes you feel fulfilled, like you have a purpose. We talked about this Venn diagram that has three or four ideas on how to find your perfect purpose. So if you're interested, check out last week's episode on finding joyous careers. We talk about those different pieces of the puzzle, how to potentially transition into a new career, what you should be looking for, as well as my journey and some amazing examples of past guests who really are exemplifying a person who pursues a joyous career. So you don't want to miss it. Check out last week's episode on joyous careers.
And you can watch me botch up TPD.
TPD. Exactly. So you don't want to miss it. Go check it out. This week, we wanted to kind of piggyback off of last week's episode. Last week, we were asking a lot of questions, giving a lot of theory, but I wanted to dive a little deeper into what I've discovered for myself. And people could use what we talked about last week to find answers and make a change. There was something really big that happened for me in the last year. I talked last week about how this school mindset kind of set me up for failure in a sense. It's been something that I've had unlearn as a young adult. Getting out of school is getting out of that school mindset. And so what I've really noticed is I've had kind of a change in mindset from doing what I feel is expected of me, graduating college, getting good grades, all these things, changing from that mindset to a career trajectory that actually like excites me on a daily basis. So it doesn't really matter what your parents think, what your friends think, what any society thinks to do. It matters what you're happy with and what matters for you, because at the end of the day, each of us individually are living our own lives. And if you're trying to live for somebody else's expectations, somebody else's goal, you're not going to ultimately be happy.
Yeah, you are the only you. You're unique. And grabbing this stuff from other people, you can maybe use those things as models.
Totally.
But you've got to bring your own creativity, uniqueness, and everything to it. So I think I've never really thought about how school sets us up for failure as adults in life. It really does. I don't know why the system is set up with this grind, 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 six classes, juggling them all together. It just sets you up for a frantic pain.
It's not manageable.
It's not sustainable.
Not sustained. That's exactly it. And I've heard, I don't know this for a fact. This is me just throwing this out there, but I've heard some European countries do things a little bit differently. And instead of the US high school system where you go elementary, middle school, high school, and then they're like, congratulations, you're an 18-year-old. Now you can start thinking about your career. In European countries, they actually turn high school more to a community college. So high school years, I think it's like 15 to 18, 16 to 18, something like that, is really getting students in that mindset of figuring out what they enjoy. And it's basically the US community college is European high school. And I think that's really powerful because when a lot of European students get out of this secondary school at 18, they choose to go to, say, a trade school or something else. And that's a lot more available to them compared to in the US, it's not as talked about. And so career, I feel like I was also not quite a driven student as an 18-year-old, 16 to 18-year-old. So I may have missed this, but I didn't feel like I was set up an adult. I work with some brilliant high schoolers right now, and I have, oh gosh, like a handful of high schoolers that I tutor, and they are so on top of things. They're like, this is what I want to do with my life. this is, I want to open a store. I want to open a daycare. Like, they have such a plan for their life. And I'm like, well, where was I at 18? Because I sure as heck did not have this like life plan ready for me.
Well, maybe they attended high school.
Shots fired. See, this is true. No. Anyways,
it's a class, so they learned something.
Hey, I sometimes went to class. But anyway, I just feel like as a young person, I'm really learning to not worry about what I think is expected of me, and instead kind of being a little more introspective and trying to figure out what I want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. And I think for me, that's why social media is a little challenging for me. It's not anybody else's fault but my own, you know? Maybe it's my lack of confidence in certain areas, or just that this is something I'm having to grow, a skill I'm having to grow, the dropping the comparison game and kind of looking internally. But social media gets you into that FOMO mode where it's like, all these people are just doing amazing, like they're really achieving this, achieving that, and what am I doing? And you have to remember, like, we're so different and we have such different journeys and we have different skills, and they're showing their highlight reel, and you don't always realize what you're doing well. You have to have an outside perspective remind you of these beautiful talents that you actually do have.
And I'm just going back to that high school thing that you were talking about, and European, we're kind of comparing it to that, but it just makes me think about how you would start younger instilling in middle schoolers that there is something that comes at the end here. Start thinking about it. And it then has more time to percolate, because I don't think our high school system, until your senior year,
right. They
really don't do much of anything.
And they might. I just was not really present. So, you know, I could have completely missed that, but I do agree with you that it's very focused on grades and good behavior and all these things, going to college. It's not like, what do you want to do with your life? What are you interested in? And that's so important.
And it needs time for that to, like I said, percolate and experiment and try lots of different things.
Yeah.
But you start thinking about that young, I want to be this. And you know, all of a sudden realize I don't want to go that direction.
Yeah.
With enough time, you'll figure it out.
And some of the most incredibly skilled individuals really did start early in their craft. The person that comes to my mind is Connor DeFilippi. I don't know the episode that we had him on. It was one of the first five. He's a professional race car driver for BMW.
I think it was number 7, because
So first, and Connor DeFilippi, he's a professional race car driver, and he started from a young age, and he made a lot of sacrifices to make his career work, and really developing skills. You know, fabulous gymnasts start from a young age. They're developing these skills and this muscle memory, whatever it is, at an early age. And if you're 16, sorry, out of luck. Can't really do that.
They're at the prime of the gymnast is at the prime before 18.
Exactly.
There. So yeah, you have to have it.
Well, talking about other people was great, but I want to kind of talk about my own journey, because my life is different. And so I can't compare apples to oranges, apples to grapes, whatever it is, you know, we are so individual. And something that I'm realizing myself is social media is huge right now. Everybody's on social media, and I really value digital marketing because it is such an amazing tool. When I was in college at UCSD, I did a whole certificate on digital marketing. I really find it fascinating. But when I started creating content for the podcast, like reels, video content, stuff like that, it just didn't bring me joy. It felt like a chore instead of something that was like exciting and fun. And it's something that I'm learning about myself. Like, that wasn't something that made me excited to get up every day and do. And when I came to that realization that, hey, maybe I am doing what I feel is expected of me, not what I truly am passionate about, it kind of was like okay, I need to make some changes.
So let me just get clear on what you're saying, as far as it's not the digital marketing that didn't feel right for you. It was more the creating of reels and things like that you didn't enjoy, or
kind of. It's actually more putting myself in front of the metaphorical spotlight that I didn't enjoy. I'm very self-critical of myself, and I know nobody else is thinking these things. You know, like, it's me being self-critical, and it's just voice in my head that I'm sure I could overcome with time. And there are people who preach about, like, the just start posting reels, start doing it, like, you'll grow past that. And I'm 100% sure, you know, I would.
You are getting tens of thousands of views in some cases.
And that was cool.
So you were great with it.
I didn't love it.
But that's the thing. You couldn't, we talked about that last week. You have a talent for it, but you're not passionate about it. So that's the talent and the P for passion. And you could have made money with it, but if you're not passionate about it, why do that?
Exactly. So that's kind of been my realization. And I have loved this digital marketing. And so it was like, how can I take the skill that I have in digital marketing? I have so many people tell me that I'm very strong with technology and, you know, that is a gift of mine and I'm very grateful for that.
I think you're extremely creative when it comes to websites and design and content creation design. I think you underestimate your skill there as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm learning to really listen to what other people say and self-evaluate and, you know, finding joy in my career, in my day-to-day life is really important. And didn't find joy in that creating content for myself, me being at the center of that content. It just didn't bring me joy. I didn't find joy in these weekly deadlines that needed this consistency. That isn't a skill of mine that I have developed thus far. We've talked about in past seasons how there's a book by Gretchen Rubin called The Four Tendencies. And I fall into the category where I thrive on external accountability, but suffer from lack of internal accountability. And I felt like creating content that was of me kind of fell into that weak area of mine where I had to be really internally accountable to make this happen. And because that is a natural weakness of mine, it was really, I had to push myself a lot. And pushing yourself is awesome, but when you're not reaping the internal benefits of like feeling good about it, it's not worth it.
And it does kind of suck your joy as far as when you're having to push, when it just comes naturally, it kind of flows.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're having to push, it just kind of takes all of the fun out.
And it felt a little disingenuous, you know, and I'm not a I'm a very genuine person in when I'm person to person. I, you know, don't have much of a filter. I just kind of genuinely myself and I didn't really have the natural ability to convey that online. And that's okay. You know, some people are really gifted. We talked about earlier this season how my friend Amber at EMS Ambi is really great at social media. She finds a lot of joy in it. It comes really natural. It's like a form of expression for her. And that's so beautiful. I know so many people who are really good at that. And I can't try and be somebody I'm not.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
And I think social media tends to push that. Oh, whole thing about you can be anything you want to be. Well, no, not really. I mean, yeah, you can, but movie stars have a star quality about them. Influencers have a star quality about them. You know, that's one of their skills that they just have that connection.
Charisma.
Charisma, yeah, as far as that goes. And you've got charisma in your own way and star quality in your own way, but it's your own way, not somebody else's.
Correct. And exactly. And so it's like really reminding yourself when you're in this introspective space, like, does what you're doing make you want to get up in the morning? Right. You know, and I was also in the middle of burnout while I was doing this. And so experiencing this like debilitating depression on top of the responsibilities that I have. And so, no, I did not want to get up in the morning for anything, let alone something that sucked the joy, the little joy I had left in my life out of it. And I'm a firm believer of finding something new, that it's never too late to start over. You can always start over. My mother-in-law is such an inspiration to me. She, at over 50, went back and got her master's degree in psychology and became a clinical psychologist. She reinvented herself at over 50.
With all the 20-year-olds that were running around campus, and she was twice their age.
She was twice their age. She's one of our early episodes, first 10 as well. I don't know it off the top of my head. Was she 3, 4?
I think she was 3, yeah. I think.
Karen Vesely.
No, she was 4.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, if you're interested in checking that out, it was a really popular episode. She had a lot of amazing wisdom. But I also wanted to bring
up getting through the pain of life.
Which, you know, we all know pain of life is inevitable. It's just going to show up and shake you to your core. But I also wanted to bring up episode 75 with Katarina Snyder. She is just such a fiercely strong woman who totally reinvented herself. She just stopped trying to live up to what society expected of her. I think she was a lawyer, wasn't she? I could be wrong.
No, she wasn't a lawyer, but she was in the corporate
realm. Okay, yeah, she was in a corporate career, and, you know, she was well off from society standards. Yes. You know, she was doing well in her
high
career.
High-level corporate.
Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to fulfill these expectations, she said, F it, I'm going to pursue what I'm dreaming of, what makes me feel like me, really being as authentic as I can. And she was able to come out and show her identity to the world and really be so genuine and so just herself. And I think that's really empowering to remember that at any point in your life, if you are unhappy and you don't feel like it's working, stop, reevaluate. We only have one life. We don't have a do-over. Some people may believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that we have this one opportunity and that's it. And I want to maximize that.
Multiple chances at that one opportunity, but yeah, one life.
One life, exactly. And it's short and crazy things happen and you never know when your last day is going to be. It's really a morbid way to think about it, but it is anything, any day could be your last day. And if you're not living out the life that you dream about and that you long for, like, take a baby step to change that. And I'm going to share kind of what my change has been for me as well. But if you want some inspiration, check out episode 75 with Katarina Snyder, because she will just light you up and get you really excited to make some change, because you want to find your magical genius. You want to figure out where you fit in the world and figure out how to develop a better intuition. And I think that comes with time and age and, you know, experience.
And one other thing, one of the themes of her conversation was her previous life. She felt like she was filtered. All of this weight of what everybody else was telling her should do, what'll make you happy, and so on. And now I think of her as unfiltered. She's about as unfiltered as you can get. But she lived this drudgery of being filtered by other people. And then she went to an unfiltered life and just is finding the joy.
And she's somebody that I just like beams energy from her. She's one of those just like energy unicorns that just like fills you up, because she's so herself and she just pushes that onto other people. And I think it's important to remember that it doesn't matter where you're at, if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 70, you still can try something new. You can reinvent yourself. Like, age is just a number. You can do whatever you want to do. Do not feel like this is the end of the road. I can't do anything because now I'm a mother or because now I have these responsibilities. No, you have the potential to reinvent yourself. It may be slower because you have responsibilities, but starting to think about it and take those baby steps is so important. And so for me personally, I've kind of asked myself a few career questions in the last 6 months, a year, I think. I've started to ask myself these things in the last year. We talked earlier in the season about how I experienced a miscarriage summertime of last year. And so that was kind of a catalyst moment for me. It was like, okay, right now isn't the right time. And that's totally cool. No issue with that. But I do know what my long-term goals are. I don't know if it's going to take a year, 3 years, 5 years. Who knows? God has a plan for me that I'm not going to try and interfere with. But I do have control for the baby steps that I take in my career. And if I know I want to be a mother, have a family at some point in time, whether I have kids of my own or we get to adopt some beautiful kids or foster kids, who knows what that journey is going to look like. I want to make sure that my career can blend easily with that long-term goal of mine. And so I need to start right now, because if I wait 2 years, it could be too late.
Yeah, then you get into the frantic
mode. Panic. Yeah. I'm the queen of panic.
It's kind of like the middle schooler starting to think about career early.
Yeah. Compared to a senior that you're like,
But you need something, that coincides with the lifestyle of raising a family.
Absolutely. And so we talked last week about TPD, TPD. And this is kind of my interpretation of TPD. These questions that I asked myself were, what do I like doing? Because we talked earlier in the episode, I didn't like putting myself out on social media. I've got a little bit of privacy issue with social media in addition to my maybe self-confidence issues. I don't know, my lack of joy in the area. Kind of there's multiple issues there, but what do I actually like doing?
Yeah, that's the whole passion thing. You know, what turns me on? What generates energy?
What experience have I gained since graduating? What experience do you as an individual have in life? Have you raised all your siblings and have this childcare experience? Have you managed groups of people in your restaurant? Have you mastered drink craftsmen? Like, what kind of skills do you have? And lastly, we've talked about demand. That's one of the big ones. But for me, my direction was a little different. I was like, how can I free up my time so that I can stay home with our future kids and still support our family financially? So it's demand in a different sense.
Yeah, it is demand in a different sense. It's a good way of looking at it. It's a more advanced demand, not just what people want, but what do people want that I can fit within the flexibility that I need.
Exactly. So it definitely narrows my options a little bit, but I wasn't deterred. I was like, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, as our veteran listeners probably know. I'm talking to people. I love kind of the risk involved, creativity. I've never been like a 10-year-old who's like, I want to be a doctor and stuck with it. I've jumped around careers. You can ask him, like when I was in college, how many majors did I have? At least a dozen.
Yeah.
Half a dozen, a dozen. I don't know. You know, I'm still figuring myself out, and that is okay. And I don't think I'll ever have myself figured out. I remember I was listening to a podcast. It might've been a Tim Ferriss podcast, but it was years ago. And I remember one of the guests on the podcast said that he experiences a career change or adjustment about every decade. That was kind of like I forget who it was. I feel like it may have been like a real estate episode. I'm not exactly sure, but he was talking about how about every 10 years, he kind of does something different. So he started in business, and then he dabbled in, you know, the author area, and then he dabbled in this, and then he dabbled in that. And I think that is so important to remember that you don't need to do one thing forever.
Yeah. And you reach the level of advanced or expert probably within that 7 to 10 year period. And then it becomes a bit more monotony. So you need something to excite you up again.
Absolutely. And so I've just kind of been thinking about these questions, you know, what do I like? What experience do I have? And how can I be free time-wise, have the freedom that I'm desiring? And I'm grateful for all the support that I have in my life and the ability to be able to experiment and do different things. I know a lot of people, you know, have responsibilities that maybe go over and above what I even comprehend as adult responsibilities. And so they can't divide their time as easily as I can. And so I feel very fortunate in that area. But trying to take on more than one project is stressful. And it's something to be mindful of if you are trying to have a side gig. It's really exhausting physically, mentally, everything like that. And so you really need to make sure that you're not taking too much onto your plate, right? That your one task each day, whatever it is, make it manageable and don't feel totally rushed. And so what we've decided is that I've got the skills in social media. I know I don't love being the face of social media, and that's okay. But I love helping people. And so my big question is like, how can I help others through whatever career I'm doing? And so we've decided to go down the direction of supporting local businesses through digital marketing, and not necessarily social media, but leveraging social media. And I think it's really cool that there are so many opportunities online nowadays that you could be an influencer, you could be doing affiliate marketing, you could be doing all these things. Like, the opportunities are endless, but finding that area that sparks joy in you, that makes you excited, that makes you feel like, I'm doing something good that I really like.
Yeah, and you're good at it. And I think not just helping people, but saving business owners from being stuck and not being able to get enough leads. And that's kind of where the advertising comes in, is we all need more people to come through the doors. But a lot of small businesses are stuck. They're doing so many other things, wearing so many hats. So I think our purpose is to save people from that feeling of being stuck.
And it is really sad because since COVID, there have been, my husband and I are in our hometown right now, and we've really realized how much things have changed and how many small businesses have gone out of business, likely for the problem that we're hoping to solve, because they just don't have people coming in the door. They don't have people buying their products. They aren't able to sustain their business. And it's really unfortunate because I'm such an advocate for local business. I really believe that if you find something that you love, you should pursue it. That's the American dream. And if we can come in and help take a little bit of a burden off of these individuals, I think that's just something that would give me a lot of fulfillment and, of course, help their bottom line.
Yeah, not only take the burden away from them, but bring in more money, so more people.
But I just want to let you listeners know, this isn't something that has happened overnight. If you've been with me for the long run, I have jumped around from a lot of things. I've had to dabble in a lot of things. I've had to do a lot of classes. I've had to educate myself in a wide range of areas. And this is kind of the conclusion that we have come to after a lot of trial and error. So it's not like this just was magically my purpose. It's no, it really took being patient with myself and being willing to fail and being okay with not having all the answers.
I know we're getting close to the end, but I think of that dad who, his daughter said that dad, every time she would come home from school, said, "What did you fail at?" Mm-hmm. But being not fearful of failing, but it brings you to the point where you've just got this, it all comes together, blends together, and gives you the ultimate direction that you're looking for.
Absolutely. And it's going to happen if you have your mind set on finding those answers. Like we talked about, I think that might've been the last episode, about Albert Einstein. Einstein was a genius, as we all know, but when he got stuck on a problem, he, instead of hammering his head so hard that he never wanted to try and address this problem again, instead he went and played the violin, did something that brought him joy, some sort of a hobby, and boom, the answer comes. So you need to focus on being in the present moment and enjoying every bit of this journey of life, because those answers will come. If you have it percolating in your brain, if you have this question in there, if you're patient, and if you're doing the right steps and trying to educate yourself, those answers will come. So with that, I think we're going to wrap up. You don't want to miss next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about money. And I'm going to be dropping all the juicy tea on my money journey.
That sounds exciting. I'm almost scared to hear about all of that.
Hey, we're looking up. So there will be a positive at the end of this episode, but it got deep and dark for a little bit. So don't forget to tune in next week so that we can talk about money and how not to do what I did, because it's a pain. But anyways,
get you to where you are now faster.
Yes, without all the hiccups. Exactly.
Well, it's been a great show, and we've learned about career and more on money next week. So until next week, better your best you, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Power Adulting Podcast.